Stop comparing yourself to other women, including your younger self. She's another woman. This is a quote from today's guest, who also happens to be my husband. Before introducing you to him, welcome to Real Talk with Rachel. I'm your host, Rachel Gilbert, and I'm a therapist on a mission to bridge the gap between faith and therapy. These episodes are meant to be educational, not a replacement for your therapist. Stick around until the end of today's show for our Let's Get Real Practical segment. This is where I share counselor-proof strategies to take this topic discussed with today's guest and make it relevant in your everyday life through simple action steps. Well, this is a fun month because we are celebrating the 1 year anniversary of releasing my book, Image Restored. I have to read this review from Amazon from a reader that just, I was reading it today and I was like, I have to share this with the listeners. She says this, "Wow, this book gives a fresh perspective about the little things we believe about our bodies and undoubtedly about our overall selves and teaches you to challenge that belief. The example of building a house throughout the book is easy to understand and I think can apply to many other aspects of our faulty belief system." She is right. The therapist tidbits, videos, and body image blueprints really help to dig deep into a firm foundation. I was surprised by Rachel's openness to share the circumstances that formed her beliefs and the pain that came with them. We all start putting up walls so as not to experience pain like that again. But if we're willing to openly look at the circumstances that happened and, quote, take them to court, end quote, we can finally see that we are believing lies and have the ability to accept new beliefs. Great book I would recommend to anyone that wants to not hate their body anymore. Good job, Rachel. Well, first of all, thank you, dear reader, for that review. But friends, I'm sharing that with you because if you're listening and you have yet to grab a copy of the book, I want to actually encourage you. Of course, you can go learn more about it at imagerestoredbook.com. But you know what I think speaks louder than all the fancy little copy that we have on the pages? I mean, if you knew the back end that goes into writing the back of a cover and putting websites up and stuff, you'd be like, whoa, that's a lot. But reviews don't lie, okay? I didn't pay these people to write these things. So you can go on Amazon. There's over 100 reviews in there, and several of them are long reviews like this. And I just encourage you, go read and see if one jumps out to you that makes you go, okay, that makes sense to me, all right? Okay, so let's get back to today's episode. I asked my husband to be a guest for two reasons. First, I dedicated the book to him because he believed in me when I did not believe in myself. Second, that quote I just read you about comparing to my younger self was one of the many words of wisdom he spoke to me as I sought healing in my body image. Now, if you're listening and you're married, I recommend inviting your spouse to listen with you, or maybe even just share this episode and say, hey, I listened to this husband and wife talk about this. I think you'll love it. You know, listen in when you can. But if you're listening and you're like, well, I don't have a spouse, or maybe yours isn't supportive, stay tuned in. There is wisdom for you here too. I just loved, like, seriously, this episode is full of tons of wisdom, of course. Sorry to keep saying the word wisdom, but that's just the best way I can sum it up. But also, my husband is not the only man I'm inviting on the podcast this month. I'll save the other man for a surprise here in a few weeks. But I just wanted to bring some male voices into this topic because you don't hear from men very often when it comes to the subject of body image. Well, let me formally introduce you to my husband by reading his professional bio. Dr. Matthew Gilbert at BBC Health in Lewisville, Texas, is passionate about taking a collaborative, integrative approach to healthcare. He believes that patients receive the most health benefits when medical and chiropractic doctors work together to provide a comprehensive, personalized treatment plan. Dr. Gilbert established BBC Health to integrate his expertise in chiropractic techniques with family medicine to provide patients of all ages in the Louisville area with the best medical, chiropractic, and rehabilitation services around. He fosters a warm, caring family environment in an easily accessible, state-of-the-art facility. When not at the office, Dr. Gilbert enjoys spending time with his wife, Rachel, and their three children. Now, if you've been listening to this show for more than a couple of episodes, you know I love to ask guests the question, what is something about you I did not just read on your professional bio? I'm really sad to tell you, I forgot to ask my husband that question. I think in part, two reasons. One, I'm like, I know everything about you. Like part of me asking guests that question is I'm also curious. I'm like, I want to know you're human too. I know my listeners want to know that, but we all want to just get a little peek behind, like, who really are you, right? Fun things that make you up. There was that. But then also, as you'll see when we get into this interview, I didn't sit and create questions around this. Him and I really, truly just sat down and had a talk. So I was kind of off my game when it comes to that. So I'm going to just tell you a fun fact about my husband on the spot here. And it is that Matt, that's what he goes by, that's what I call him, that's what I'll say here on the show, is the best researcher I know. Now, he seriously can teach himself how to do just about anything. In fact, I'm honestly convinced he would do open heart surgery on himself if it didn't require that you have to go under and, of course, have enough sets of hands. And while sometimes this gift of researching annoys me, I know I can take any decision to him and he will make sure I've looked at every angle of it before moving forward. So there's your fun fact about him. Okay, please help me welcome my husband, Matt, to the show. Well, hello, honey. Welcome back to the show.
Well, hey, baby. Thank you for inviting me.
I drug you in here kicking and screaming. And no, there was no screaming or kicking.
No.
The last time we recorded, I think, was in our old house closet.
Yeah. I do remember us being in the closet.
Actually.
It looks like now we've come out of the closet. Okay. So to speak. Okay. No, not that way.
Welcome to the show. You're in for a treat today. I have my amazing husband here. We've been married currently 18 years.
Yes.
It'll be 19. I always actually look at him. He actually keeps better track of the date than I do.
You got it right.
So we'll be 19 years in May. Mm-hmm. Yay. And I asked him on for a couple of reasons. One, it has been over 5 years since you've been on the show. Now, you can be honest with the guests. Being interviewed, whether it be audio or video, just not your favorite thing, right?
That is correct.
Yes. So that's why I made the joke that I brought him kicking and screaming. He was very kind to say, yes, he would do it, but this is not your favorite thing. You're more of a behind the scenes kind of guy, numbers, analytical, right? Yeah, which I love that about you, you know. I think in the beginning of our marriage, I don't want to say fought each other on it, but tried to get each other to become more like the other one. And while we've definitely rubbed off on each other, case in point, you're here doing this with me today, and I think I've done a few things that made me uncomfortable that you drug me into a little bit, but we've also learned to just cheer each other on in our own lane, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've learned saying yes is usually the right answer on these things. So.
Okay. Yeah.
It usually goes better than I fear. So
yeah.
It's a good thing.
It'll be good. Well, because as much as I know this is not your favorite thing to be in the public and to, you know, you have no desire to build platforms or anything like that, you have a lot of wisdom and you've imparted a lot of that wisdom to me over the years. And then I have in turn, you know, shared it with my listeners or my readers. And so that's part of why I'm, you know, asked you back on the show. Obviously, one had been a while since we talked on here. But then also, this month, as this episode releases, am celebrating the 1 year release anniversary of my book, Image Restored.
Woo!
I know. And I wanted the listeners to hear from you and readers too, for a couple of reasons. Because first of all, and you know, who knows how many people noticed this part, but I secretly dedicated my book to you. And I almost secretly, I almost made it to the very end and got you to be able to see the dedication when it was in print, but you accidentally saw it ahead of time, right?
Yeah. Well, you wanted me to read and edit some of it, but that part was in there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think, yeah. So anyhow, it was a secret for a long time because it was an arc. It was a digital arc that you saw it on.
Secret.
So it was a good secret. It was hard to keep it from him, but here, I'm going to read it, you know, for those of you who maybe haven't read the book or even you read it, but most of us skim right on by those dedications because unless you're an author yourself, you don't really care usually who the person dedicated the book to. So I'm aware of that, but I want you to hear this because it really lays the groundwork for what Matt and I are going to talk about today. And I said, "To Matt, for loving me as Christ loves the church. You have been the hands and feet of Jesus on my journey to healing and writing this book. Thank you for being my rock. I love you with all my heart, forever and always, no matter what."
Oh, love you too.
Thank you. Ditto. No. but here's why I wanted people to hear this, because we're going to talk about a couple things here today. Well, I'll just be very honest with you here on Real Talk with Rachel. I have no notes. So usually when I interview somebody, I have all kinds of questions and thoughts on what I want to ask, and I don't have notes, but I know the direction I want to take this conversation, and Matt and I know each other well enough. I feel comfortable to do that, but the couple of things I wanted to talk about here, yes, is the marriage angle, but also is just in how healing that you were to my body image journey and still are, right? Like, you still know me better than anybody. You still can see when I'm sinking into a bad mental place when it comes to my body, and you can call me out of that. And you've been very encouraging. And I'm also aware that there's some listeners here today who maybe their husbands aren't as encouraging. Maybe actually their husbands are saying some of the most harmful, you know, hurtful things more so than anybody else. So I am sensitive to that, and we're aware of that, but I also just love to share because I don't think we get to hear from the men as much on this topic. And I think that the voice of men is missing in this area for sure. And so I want you, you know, just to get a glimpse into one, how Matt's been, you know, healing on my journey, but then also how just even in marriage, kind of like what I just mentioned a little bit ago, how we've both learned to let each other stay in your lane, your zone of genius, if you will. And one of the ways you've done that with me is just like I said in the foreword, or not the foreword, the dedication, you love me as Christ loves the church, right? And you continue to. And that is, again, goes back to, yes, you've encouraged me on my body image journey, but also on me having this podcast and me writing this book. Like, you saw those things in me long before I saw them in myself. And actually with this podcast, I don't know if I've ever shared this, that you were the one who encouraged me to podcast. Do you remember that?
No.
That's another thing I love about you. You give me these encouraging things just in passing, and you don't fully realize how significant they are, you know? But I think that happens a lot in the body of Christ. We encourage each other and then we forget we did that, but to the person it meant a lot. Mm-hmm. But on this podcast, you actually signed me up for a free podcasting webinar.
Oh.
And told me you thought I'd be good at podcasting. Wow. You did not remember
really
that.
Yeah.
You don't remember that, do you?
Man, well, you're talking several years ago.
We were in our old clinic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so, I slept since then. So,
yeah.
But I do remember just wanting to be encouraging in all the ways that I could be. So,
yeah.
Man, that was pretty cool of me.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet you're kicking yourself now for doing that.
No. No, this was going to come out one way or another. So, it might as well be blessed and.
Yeah.
Be supported, right?
Yeah.
So you could do it right.
Yeah. He has joked that, you know, when we first got together, I was very inside my shell, very timid, very lacked lots of confidence. And he has definitely pulled me out of my shell. And I think you'd be okay with me telling them, you've joked that sometimes you're like, let's shove you back in that shell for a minute, you know?
Well, you definitely took the bull by the horns, and you've taken every opportunity that has been before you. And it's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for pulling me out of my shell. And since I brought up clinic, we're currently sitting in our clinic, mm-hmm. where we're recording. So I also want, especially for the listeners who they haven't really met you because this is the first time I've brought you on in a long time. And I've got a lot of new listeners since then. Tell them what you do and kind of what we do in our practice.
Well, I'm a chiropractor by trade. That's always my answer because I treated patients mostly for almost a decade, but slowly over the last few years, I've scaled back from that. So I see very few patients now, but thankfully that's because our clinic has grown and we've really just taken opportunity after opportunity that's come along. So we now are a primary care medical clinic that offers chiropractic, physical medicine, rehabilitation, and now counseling with you and what you do. So we've just become really a multidisciplinary clinic and have grown in that. And it's just expanded one service after another. And it's taken a little bit more to manage all that. And thankfully, I kind of enjoy that role and am still trying to figure all that and grow in leadership and how I can do that better. But that's basically my role now is managing this business that we've been blessed to have. And always just trying to do that better and better while still seeing a few patients here and there as a chiropractor.
Yeah, it's really fun to see how far we've come because another thing listeners may not know is we got married when we were still in undergraduate school. And so both of us were kind of in school for almost like the first decade of our marriage, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we took turns being in school. Yeah,
that's about right.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we kind of did things backwards of what most people do and got married while in college. And then I actually got pregnant with our first daughter while still in college. She was at my undergraduate graduation. So definitely have done things a little in reverse, but I wouldn't do it any other way. And it's just fun to reflect back on that. So I like y'all to hear that backstory too, because you know the things we're about to share. One, you know, how long we've been together, the things we've gone through together, and also just how young I was when you first met me. And so another reason I wanted to talk with you is that in my book, Image Restored, so many women have just stopped and when they read something I shared that you said to me years ago when I was struggling with body image, it just stopped them in their tracks. And then every time I've been interviewed, not almost every time I'm interviewed on a podcast, they bring this quote up that you shared with me. This is probably another thing you were just sharing overflow of your heart, you know, what you knew to be true. But I remember I had come to you at one point and I believe after our third child was trying to lose the weight and it wasn't really coming off and I was doing all the things and basically just exhausting myself. And I came to you and just said, I just can't keep doing this. I'm exhausted. I'm not losing the weight. I was frustrated. And, you know, another thing, well, we'll get into something separate from that here in a little bit, because I do think this would be important to bring up. But I came to you and just shared all that. And you just very calmly and, you know, point blank said, Rachel, stop comparing yourself to other women, including your younger self. She's another woman. And that was a real game changer for me because I didn't really realize that. I think most women are aware that we, you know, can be tempted to compare to other women, but it was the first time that I had really considered, oh, I'm comparing myself not only to pre-baby, you know, Rachel, but also to like a 15-year-old version of myself. So I want to hear from a man's perspective, like one, what made you see it that way? But I also want to hear from a doctor's perspective, because that was another viewpoint I think is a little different for you that you've had.
Yeah. Well, I do remember saying that. And right off the bat, it's just the Holy Spirit, because it just kind of came to me. It's nothing I'd ever thought of before. And I didn't even realize how deep it was at the time. It just kind of made sense and seemed like, it even honestly came out of a little frustration to myself because, you know, this is something you had dealt with and we've had that conversation before and you were, you know, really, you know, frustrated at that time, but it's something that had happened over and over and over again of you getting frustrated and it made me frustrated. And one, speaking as a husband and a man first, I can't speak for every man out there, but pretty universally, that's not something, you know, we deal with innately. Now, I think men can have certain seasons in life, or, you know, you gain a little weight or you have an injury or something, you're not able to, you might look a little different, or you're going through some kind of sickness or something like that. And yeah, you care about how you look, but not to the degree that most women go through. It's not like a daily regular thing. I think the best comparison for men is just mostly we lose some performance as we get older. You know, we're not able to do as many things. And so we're all struggling with comparison and comparing ourselves to others. And some, it might be looks, and some, it might be ability, or, you know, can't lift as much as I used to, can't run as fast, or things like that for a man. But the image thing was just something that, not that I'm a, you know, a male model or anything like that, but it's not something that you just daily deal with. So it was just kind of frustrating, because when I look at you, I see my wife, I see beauty, I see the woman I picked, the most beautiful woman in the world to me. And when you are not seeing that, and then you're talking bad about yourself too, it's kind of like, hey, you're talking bad about my wife, stop it. And it was a little bit frustrating. So I'm glad that resonated with you and made a change. So as a doctor, I can speak to this, because I remember at that time, if it was right after our third child, then I was a few years into practice and I was still figuring out how to be a doctor, so to speak, and was just seeing a lot of patients and was working. And one common theme that you keep seeing, no matter what kind of doctor you are, a chiropractor, a surgeon, family practice, whatever it might be, one common theme you see is people getting older and dealing with it, and some dealing with it better than others. And that's something we all have to deal with, quite frankly. But it was something almost all day I was explaining why somebody couldn't do something they used to be able to do, or why this joint was deteriorating or aging, and going through those explanations over and over and over again. It's something you kind of universally see that we all deal with, getting older and dealing with losing our image or losing our abilities. And so I remember in that time when you were frustrated with that, and I was frustrated with dealing with this over and over again, I think the Holy Spirit just put that saying in me, and I shared it, and it seemed to make a lot of sense that, hey, the 15-year-old body you mentioned earlier is a lot different than the 30-year-old body, than the 40-year-old body, and much different from there. And we can't compare those two things. They're just flat out different.
Yeah. What do you say then to, because you bring up a really good point on aging, because obviously we're all doing it. There's no avoiding it, but we're seeing more and more of anti-aging. I mean, literally there's billion-dollar industries now on all the creams and the stuff and the everything there. So even from that doctor perspective, how we age well, right? Because you and I both believe in taking care of our body, you know, moving it, and yes, exercising, eating well, but then how we do that without slipping over into this, like, fighting it, angry about it, you know, like comparing ourselves to when we were 15, you know, 15 years ago kind of a thing.
Well, I think it goes at the root of it is just, do you still have the sting of death on you? You know, do you still have that fear of death? And that goes back to your salvation in Jesus Christ, just right off the bat. And I think without that, without having that hope of eternal life and a new body and the things that the Bible promises, without that, I think growing older is pretty tough. And I feel for a lot of people that don't have that hope, unfortunately, because it's tough to see all you know and what you put your trust in to fade away. And so I think that just right off the bat is the root of it. But even as Christians, even as a believer, I think we're called to take care of this temple, and we have abilities in society now to exercise and eat well, and all kinds of procedures as well to keep joints moving and to keep skin nice and tight and things like that. And most of those things are not wrong, and in fact, good healthy practice to keep you feeling and moving as good as you can, I think it's the heart that's really the issue there. So when we don't have a hope of that eternal life and that future with Jesus, I think growing older is pretty scary and pretty tough.
Yeah. I love how wise you are, honey. It's so good.
thank you.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's true though. I want to circle back around for a second to what you mentioned earlier when we were talking about how I would compare myself to when I was younger and things like that. And you made a comment there that I'm the beautiful wife that you chose, right? And I don't think I realized, in fact, hey, listeners, you're going to get a glimpse into me. I think I just made a connection point too, even in listening to you, that I probably never shared with you, is I knew that you chose me when we got married, but I think I had this underlying fear of, will you keep choosing me, right? Will you keep choosing me when I don't lose that baby weight, when I get older and I have the wrinkles and the gray hair and the, you know, I don't look like I did when we got married at 21 years old, right? And I even realized for me personally, I don't know if everybody can relate to this. I think that's maybe an underlying fear. Most women just have an unspoken thing, right? And then on top of it, I actually had I believe I wrote about this in the book. I had a distant family member who at one point, when I was in high school, told me that whenever I get married one day, if I don't want my husband to leave me or cheat on me, that I need to make sure to keep my weight off. You know, like if you don't want him to look at other women, keep your weight off, right? So it's all about me. I have to keep you from looking at other women by me keeping myself in tip-top condition. Yeah. Now, that was a statement I never had shared with you, but it was an expectation I brought into marriage, you know, even not even knowing, I don't think fully. It was more of a subconscious thing I brought in. So I put a ton of pressure on myself of, I need to look like I did the day we got married. And if I don't, will he love me? Which we know that's conditional love then. That's not unconditional. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yes, I remember you sharing that.
Yeah.
And so what I first thought of as you were saying that question there was the things that I brought into marriage that kind of good and bad. But one thing that kind of goes with that was the opposite, I'd say. Anyway, so my mother, as you know, my parents divorced when I was 8. My mother's been married and divorced 5 times. So she's had several marriages, and growing up just had a, you know, tumultuous household and parents with multiple marriages and that sort of thing. So growing up, it embedded in me this desire that when I get married, it's for good. I mean, there's no question. When I make that decision, if you will, that this is the girl that I want to marry, then it will work out. Now that's a good thing, but the problem was I didn't know Jesus yet. And so it was all in my own strength as a teenager when I thought about that. Problem with that is that when you don't know true love, you can't give true love. So it wasn't until I accepted Christ when I was 20 years old before meeting you. And then that's when I really knew, I experienced forgiveness and love for the first time that was real. So then meeting you and dating and knowing, hey, this is the girl for me, and God put you in my life for us to be married for the long haul, for life. When I made that decision, I still had that in me of, this is it. Come heck or high water, this is it. So I had that initial decision, but walking it out daily, I wouldn't have been able to do that without knowing the true love of Jesus. And so we've gone through those struggles that every married couple goes through, body image, for example, but just kids and jobs and careers and budgets and all that stuff as well. But going through it, I could always come back to that love that Jesus gave me, and knowing what that was like gave me at least the power, the impression, the ability to give that to you and to work through those things. So I may have lost your first question though. What was your initial question?
Well, no, actually you didn't lose it, because I'm not even sure I posed an actual question in there other than saying what your thoughts are on that. I was under, here's what I love, where the Holy Spirit totally just took this conversation. I brought into marriage, if you will, and especially around body image, rules and regulation, right? Like if I don't, the conditional love piece, if I don't perform, if I don't look a certain way, I lose love. Well, Jesus knew I needed a husband like you who would show me unconditional love, which goes back to what I said about you in the beginning. Thank you for loving me like Christ loves the church. Because what I'm hearing you say is in marriage, but especially again, back to this body image topic, you know, if we were speaking to the husbands for a second, and wives can take this too, the only way you've been able to extend me this unconditional love, no matter what I looked like, no matter what I weighed, no matter how I was acting or any of those things, was because you have first received Christ's love within you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you could listen to all the books on marriage. You could go to all the seminars, tune into all the podcasts. But if you're trying to show unconditional love to somebody from your own empty tank, empty love mm-hmm. tank, it's not going to work. You might be able to white knuckle it for a second and maybe say a couple of things right, if you will. But I guess the takeaway I even heard in that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is as a husband and as a wife, of course, but right now we're speaking to the husbands, first things first is being submitted to Jesus.
Yeah.
Or else absolutely. You have nothing to pour. You have nothing. Yeah. There's no overflow there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's rule number one.
Yeah.
And there's never too late to,
yeah,
to follow rule number one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that has to be foundational.
Yeah. Well, and I even want to expand on that is, you know, I think also a lot of listeners would say, oh yeah, I'm saved or I'm a Christian. But then I think as believers, we can even have areas of our life that we're not submitting to Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and going, oh, he doesn't care about that side, or oh, I don't know about letting him in there. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Another angle. There's a couple other angles I want to take us on and then we'll wrap up here, but is, I think it's safe to say, and we're here on Real Talk with Rachel. So if you don't want to go here, we'll cut this part, but we'll see. Hopefully it makes it in. Well,
if we didn't go deep, it wouldn't be a real talk with you.
Well, don't worry. I think you'll like what I'm about to bring up here. It makes me blush more than you. So I think it's safe to say that the more I have embraced my body, our sex life has improved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing, you know, I don't know how, we won't go too deep into it. Don't worry. You don't have to, you know, put earmuffs on the kids here. But I think that's something that is not talked about very much. You know, this body image issue, it feels so individual sometimes, like, oh, you're just over there going through it. Just like anything in life, though, like when you mentioned men can struggle more with the performance thing and whatnot. When we think it's an individual issue, it affects the unit as a whole. Mm-hmm. So I know for me, as I got more free, yes, yay, I'm living more freedom. But that freedom has been contagious in one, our sex life has exponentially improved. Mm-hmm. And then also other areas that I've been able to, you know, help our girls be free in certain areas and things. And so anyhow, I thought we should at least just bring that up because that was definitely a fruit that we have enjoyed of me being willing to work through some of these things.
Yeah, well, I mean, when two become married, two become one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really that right there. And we, you know, you can think about that in the literal sense of sex, or you can think about that in the practical sense of, oh, you're you share bank accounts or you share a house, you share all these practical things, but literally your hearts, your lives, your minds, your bodies, everything becomes one. Well, also with that, all your problems, all your stresses, your baggage, all that kind of stuff becomes one. And you may not understand all the parts that just joined with you at first, but they're yours now. So yeah, when you were going through the body image issues, it affected our life, sex life, but our family, affected our just quality of life. I mean, it was hard to rest, hard to be friends, how to, you know, it was hard to be open and honest. And especially early, you weren't, whether you fully didn't understand everything that was going on, because you grew in that over time, I know, but you didn't share as much. But you're also an internal processor as well. And so I know that now, but you didn't share as much. But I'm also an internal processor, so I didn't ask as much either. But so, I'm really thankful that of all that you've realized and grown in, because it's benefited our entire life in every area.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, back to the two becoming one, I think that I honestly didn't realize how bad my body image and disordered eating was until I got married. Because if you think about it, up until marriage, you're able to hide things a lot better because yeah, you have friends, but they don't really see you, right? They're not spending the night with you. They're not in your daily routine. And I remember when we first got married and I had just some very skewed views of food and different things. Mm-hmm. And you would lovingly call me out on it. Like, what, you know, and you probably don't remember that, but I just remember, you know, being around you made me realize, okay. Some of these things aren't healthy. Like, this isn't how everybody does it, you know, or it just kind of brought things into the light. And while, of course, it's always frustrating when something first gets brought into the light because that's scary and now we have to deal with it, that also is just part of the healing journey for sure. So,
well, yeah, that's one of the toughest things about marriage, but also the best things about marriage is that when you become one, you literally it's like living every day right next to a mirror with it right in your face, right up to your nose. You see every little blemish, every little scar, everything like that just gets reflected right back at you all the time because you have that person that sees it and sees those things and you can't hide from it. No matter how hard you try, eventually everything comes out, and it should, because only in the light do good things grow. And when they're in the dark, bad things grow. So it's good for those things come out into the light, and marriage is the great reflective mirror to help shine back at you and reveal those things so that God can deal with them and deal with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I also like to be real clear with people. I was clear with my readers and I like to be clear with my listeners that while I am very much over many of my body image struggles, that is still something I have to keep in check, you know, and still can come for me, especially when I'm in a hard season or just all the things, right? A new season of life or whatever that might bring up some of the same old patterns of thinking for me. And so that's what I do love, though, about having it in the light now, is that I have made a commitment to myself and even, you know, to the Lord and to you that anytime, you know, how earlier we were talking about some of the things we can do to help with aging and, you know, taking care of our bodies. And I try to always let you in on the things I'm doing, because I've brought things to you before and you're like, I don't think that's for health reasons, is it? You know, and you'll call me out on it. And then other times you'll say, no, I think that'd be good. You know, and it's just, it's an accountability really for me. It's just like any year, if you struggle with any area, letting somebody in and being able to be accountable to them to say, hey, I'm wanting to do this thing. Do we think that's a good idea or not? And submitting that to you and to the Lord. Yeah. That covering. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, iron sharpens iron, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if we can be open about all the decisions that we need to make, you know, not necessarily buying this, you know, $5 cup of coffee this day, but anything, I think we had a rule for a long time that anything above $100 we would talk about, period.
Yeah.
And we've been pretty good about that.
Yeah.
And so any decisions that affect our budget or body that are, you know, we're going to know, and there's something that's out of the usual, we should be able to talk about and bounce off of each other. And that should help us be able to make wiser decisions, because you get more than one point of view and more heads on the matter usually is a good thing.
Yeah. All right. So as we wrap up, do you have one final word of encouragement, maybe to a husband who is listening with his wife, that maybe his wife is struggling with body image, or just any way he can be a support to her through that?
Yeah. So the thing that comes to my mind is something I heard a long time ago, probably at a marriage conference, probably in church. I don't remember, but so I can't share where it came from. But someone once said what the term husband means. And I'd never known it before, but the word husband comes from husbandry. And husbandry is actually a gardening term. And what that means is that as a husband, we're meant to be gardeners. And most of the time as men, we think of ourselves as hunters rather than gardeners. But in this case, as a gardener, when you want to have a beautiful flower grow, you need to provide an environment that it can grow in well. And it takes water, it takes sun, it takes time, it takes just showering it with the right amount of food and nutrients and those sorts of things. And so I remember hearing that years ago, and it just shifted my mind to think of what a husband means, that if I want my wife to be beautiful inside and out, to grow in the way that God has made her and to do the things that he's called her to, then I need to provide a supportive environment for that. And that's something that I've had to learn how to do and have failed in multiple times, but it's something that I've strived to do, is to provide an environment where you can grow and thrive. And that may look different from one husband to another, but if you've never heard that before as a husband, I hope that just opens your eyes or gives you a mindset shift that, you know, a gardener, you can't beat a plant into growth. You can't beat a plant into submission. When you're rough with a plant, it usually dies. So you need to provide that environment that beautiful flower can grow. And if you do that for your wife, you'll probably enjoy the fruit that grows out of that too.
Yeah. Well, you are a good farmer, good gardener.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's funny. I actually don't have a green thumb. Like, I don't grow anything else really, yeah. But yeah.
You've grown me well.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for coming and talking to the listeners. I would ask you to tell them all the places that they can connect with you, but he's not on social media, so you can come follow me if you would like.
Yeah, do
but
that.
But really, they can go follow our clinic or even visit our clinic website, bbchealth.com,
yeah.
And kind of get to know more about what we do in our practice.
Absolutely.
And things like that if you're here in Texas or you know, want to look into any of that and just see what we do. And so, yeah, thank you. Love you.
Love
Thankful
you too.
For you.
Thank you.
It's time for Let's Get Real Practical. This is the part of the show where we take the topic discussed with today's guest and we get into some practical steps you can implement into your life right now. Now, I started out this episode sharing with you the quote that Matt said to me years ago about comparison. And I thought it'd be fun here on this little segment to draw your attention to one of the counselor cornerstone activities that we have in the book, Image Restored, and it's called a comparison yardstick. And I, you know, wrote about this in the book, but I'm going to just share it with you for free right here because I want you to have something you can take away and easily remember. And it is this: if you want to break down a comparison yardstick, whether that be comparison to another person or even to other versions of yourself. Maybe it's a younger version of yourself, or maybe it's a dream version of yourself, right? Like once I get to this version of me, then I'll feel content and all the things, right? So whatever or whoever you're comparing to, you're going to use these three R's when we find that we're doing this, okay? The first R is recognize. Recognize. So that's what happened to me whenever he brought to my attention. Up until my husband and I had that conversation, I had not been aware that I was comparing to a different version of myself, right? And so maybe it is for you not so much a different version of yourself. Maybe it's to another woman, to a sister, to whoever, you know, this list could go on for a while, but if you notice yourself comparing, and we all know this comparison applies to way more than body image. So whatever, if you're listening, you're going, I can't really relate to the body image thing right now, then what area do you maybe wrestle with comparison? So first of all is recognizing it, right? It comes into the light. This is where the help of loved ones, like my husband did for me, a friend, a mentor, or one of my personal faves, the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit's constantly tapping me on the shoulder of my heart saying, yeah, let's talk about that thing, right? And he does it in a gentle and loving way. So the first R, recognize that you're even doing it. Second R, repent. Okay, that's immediately what follows of just saying, Lord, please forgive me for comparing and whatever the thing might be, just the repenting part. And then the third R is to rejoice. And rejoicing, again, it looks different depending on what we're talking about. So if I was comparing to another woman, I would rejoice over her by, first of all, just praying to the Lord, saying, Lord, I thank you for my friend, and just call her by name, Tell him all the things you're grateful for about this friend. Pray a blessing over this friend. And maybe even send her a text or give her a call and just tell her all the things you love about her, right? And the things that you see in her. And, you know, if you don't know this person in real life, this happens a lot on social media. Again, just pray a blessing over them. Maybe send them a DM that just says, hey, I just want you to know, I really admire what you're doing, right? And just let them know that, okay? Now, if I was comparing to my younger self, like I was doing, I would rejoice over both my younger self and my current state, you know? So I'd say, Lord, thank you for 15-year-old Rachel and the things that she was able to do, and, you know, kind of just go through that. And then thank you for where I am several decades later and all the things that my body's been able to do and be and the places I've been able to go and the relationships I've been able to be a part of because of having this physical body to move and breathe and have my being. And friends, those three R's, I can promise you, if you will practice them in your life, okay, recognize, repent, and rejoice, that comparison yardstick will break and will not have the same level of power. Now, does that mean that comparison disappears for the remainder of our years? No, it does not, which is why we have this system in place, because next when it comes, we start to recognize it quicker and we move through those three R's much more quickly. Well, I want to finish just by praying over us. Father, I thank you for every listener who's sitting under the sound of my voice. Thank you for technology that we're able to come together like this and connect across the way, the states, the nations. Lord, I thank you for my husband who came on and shared his heart here and answered some hard questions. I pray that hearing from him just brought some hope and healing to the listeners because he pointed us back to you, Jesus. You are the answer. You are the one who brings peace. We just receive that peace today, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the good work that you started through Image Restored. I pray you continue that work, that that resource continues to go far and wide and deep. Restore and renew all that the enemy has stolen and wreaked havoc in for far too long. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today's episode is brought to you by Image Restored and BBC Health. So to learn more about either of those things, go to imagerestoredbook.com and go to bbchealth.com. And you can see some of the work that my husband and I do both in clinic and in ministry. Well, I pray this Real Talk episode brought you one step closer to living free and pursuing your God-given dreams. I'll see you back here next time on Real Talk with Rachel.